All right, well then we shall begin. The Gates of Avalon. The world of Avalon is... Thank you, Jaron. Thank you. So, back where I was. The Gates of Avalon, called such because across the great continent of Avalon, spanning national borders, mountain ranges, forests, even found sometimes in the deepest of mine shafts and natural caves, there are various ruins of divine gates. Nobody seems to know where they came from, but they are there, and they're scattered across the world, seemingly haphazardly, with no real purpose to their location. They don't work, but they are there nonetheless, and there is still divine magic buried deep within them, which none has been able to tap so far, although many scholars have tried. You find yourselves in Korthalia. Korthalia is the human empire, and is, in fact, the only human empire. There are nomadic people from the deserts in the south, but when anyone speaks of humans, they will just refer to them as Korthalians. You find yourself in Korthalia, this nation on the western edge of the continent, looking out across the Western Marsh Sea, and to the north, the Ashlands, the Dragonlands, the dangerous territory of Tiamat and her ilk, as they continue their slow, cancerous attack on the world and destruction of all things that are good. You're miles away from that, though. You find yourself in Thyrin, in the shield plain of Pelagus, in this great, fertile plain of Korthalia. You find yourself at Thyrin, a small farming town. The town square is reasonably sized. Cobbled stones cover the ground. There's a small market over across the square from you where farmers are selling some of their fresh produce that they brought in. The Harvest Inn stands nearby where you've been able to do a lot of your performing. They have enjoyed your presence and have given you free room and board during the time that you were in Thyrin because of the fine performances that you were able to provide for their guests. But now it's time for you to leave, and as you prepare to pack up your things, you can smell the sweet smells of the farms around you, of the wheat fields, the corn, and the various crops that are nearing harvest, if they're not already being harvested. The town is pretty quiet. What do you do?
Elmendreda is back in her portion of the caravan, just setting things up. She's used to traveling. She's used to going from place to place. But she does kind of feel slightly sad leaving the Harvest Inn. These people were good people. And she goes out to seek out Marcus. Where would he be found? Assume down in the main lobby of the inn.
Marcus is behind the inn itself, just kind of breathing in the night air. He has done his bit of juggling, his bit of moving the equipment back to the caravan itself. Now he's just kind of contemplating, enjoying the quiet.
Am I able to find him?
Yes.
Excellent.
He's not hiding.
Marcus, how fare you today?
Farewell. As well as can be expected when a goodbyes are in order.
Yes, unfortunately. Today was a hard day, but It was good. Still good. Do you know where the others are?
I have not sought them out, and they have not sought me out. Unfortunately, I cannot help you find them.
Always a loner. Well, to each their own. I will keep loading up my stuff. Do not be late, okay?
Late is a thing I always avoid being.
With this, Elmond Trader will leave Barkus to his quiet contemplation. As she knows, he's a bit of a lone wolf. Like old soul and quiet mind. She will then go and check on Ilya to see if everything is good and ready to go.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
I'm by the horses as usual.
Oh, well, I knew where I could find you, as always. How fare you? How fare the horses? Do we need to stop and feed?
I mean, Pepper's kind of grumpy like usual, but other than that, I think they're ready to go.
Excellent. Well, perhaps the horses are more ready than we are. Anything I can do to help?
Maybe just give some of them a quick brush down.
That I can do.
All right, and while Almandreda and Philia take care of the ponies and get them ready to go to start your travel, where is Randy?
Randy, okay, so can you kind of refresh with me the scenery a little bit? Because I have an idea of where he is, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, he could be in the Harvest Inn, which is right on the town square. The Harvest Inn is located on the southern side of the town square.
Right.
Pretty close to where the main road leads into the town square.
Okay.
And then across from it is where the governor's house is at. His great house. It's also kind of the court and the seat of government there. The Temple of Light is off to the left of that. And then there's other shops and various establishments that are gathered in around the town square, and they just kind of go out from there. The town square itself is cobbled, just like the main road into town was cobbled. There's a small farmer's market that's going on. Kind of in the middle of the square, and that's pretty much it. There's a few people moving about. A lot of the local town folk are actually either at the farmer's market or will be coming shortly to get their food early while the fresh stuff is still there.
So, okay, Randy is on his way. He had just stopped by the farmer's market, actually. He has kind of elected himself the unofficial cook of the group just because he has tasted the other members' attempts at cooking, and he wasn't terribly impressed with it, with his...
And you would get a fight from Alexander, but that's okay. We can do that later.
That would be fun. He has a very specific taste. He's got, you know, he likes his regional dishes, so he's decided to, at least contribute to the group in that way. So he has kind of prepared some fresh, some of the fresh produce and everything. He's purchased some fresh produce, and he's on his way to the Temple of Light to ask Lilweneth to bless their journey.
Okay, and while you were there, you did meet very briefly. You met another halfling merchant there. Halflings are not uncommon in Korthalia, as you have found.
Right.
While the halfling people do not have their own nation that they prescribe to, or borders, they do tend to live very happily within Korthalia, within the borders of other civilized groups.
Mm-hmm.
So you would find a fair number of halflings in this area, and you did meet a halfling merchant that was also moving through the area. He seemed like he had come into town about the same time as you and was selling just kind of an odd mix of wares. But you met him, and his name is Talus Leaf. So he's a stout, rotund halfling with well-groomed orange chops on his cheeks that stand out very proudly, and a shiny monocle in his right eye that makes his right eye seem about three times as big as the other eye. And so he and he's fairly jovial that morning, but you would have met him in passing. So
okay. Did I speak to him, or
would you like to speak to him?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
I say that those are some fine tomatoes.
Yeah, I just got them down at the market over there. So it's nice to see another halfling around here. It's been kind of lonely on the journey.
Oh, definitely. All these tall buffoons don't know what they're doing. But it is great to find some of the good folk wandering about. Say, you don't sound like you're from around here. Don't tell me. You must be from the coast. Am I right?
That'd be right. I'm from south side of Tillicero.
Exactly. I knew it. It's been a while since I've been down that way. I actually lost most of my cart when I was down that way.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Not the safest of places to be, but it's a great place, and the food is to die for.
Well, unlike here, unfortunately. I'm trying to fix that problem.
Well, in some places the food is to die for, and in some places it's
You'll die from eating it, exactly. Well, anyway, I'm off to the Temple of Light. Maybe I'll see you around.
Take care, and blessings for your travel.
Appreciate it.
All right, awesome. And then he heads off to the Temple of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that is up and about yet? Is Ruka moving yet?
She'd be coming down into the lobby about now with Corzin behind her. She's still rubbing the sleep out of her eyes, but looking around. I didn't miss everyone leaving, did I?
Alexander would be still in the inn talking to the innkeeper.
She looks around and seeing Alexander. Oh good, somebody's still here. Continues down into the lobby, and that Corzin goes to get the two of them some breakfast before they leave.
And just so that everybody is aware, let me just interject really quick. Aaron is playing a class that, in this case, works with a follower. So he has a secondary follower character that essentially goes with his character and provides support to his character. So his name is Corazon, and the main character's name is Ruka. So, but both of them travel with you.
Cool.
Corazon would have been helping load.
Ah, Ruka, Corazon. It's a good to see you up in the morning. We'll be leaving in about an hour, so make sure you're ready. Ah, my good man, innkeeper. I wish to thank you for all of the hospitality you've shown us at this fine establishment of yours. It's a pity we cannot stay longer and entertain more of your guests, but, well, it's not always good for a traveling troop to stay in one spot. The open road calls to us, if you know what I'm saying.
Well,
I'll tell you, I'm gonna miss you. You've got quite a few stories inside of you, young one. Little, well, I don't really know if you're young or not, but in any case, it's been a pleasure to be able to give you housing and lodging here, and I hope you know that you've always got an open door at the Harvest Inn. We're always here for you, and with stories like yours and a voice like hers, and he kind of nods over toward Druka, you can stay as long as you like.
Alexander does raise an eyebrow at being called young, but shrugs it off and shakes the man's hand. Oh, quite grateful, and no doubt quite grateful. You'll be looking for us the next time we'll be passing through. I be guarantee you we'll be stopping here.
Well, you just let me know when you'll be coming, and I'll make sure to put out the advertisements. Doubled my usual income, you did. You're welcome anytime.
Alexander nods and reaches up to shake the man's hand again, and then walks outside to see how it's going with preparations for the wagon and such.
Are Elmandreda and Philia still working at the wagon?
Yeah.
Yes. And Elmandreda is speaking with Philia about the horses that she had more out in the desert. Most people call them camels, but Elmandreda considers the two one and the same. As soon we turn and we see Alexander. So, hi, Alexander. How are you? Are you ready to go?
Oh, I've been doing fine, Elmandreda. Had me coffee in the morning and a bit spot of breakfast. And yes, I think I'm ready. But Ruka and Corazon are just coming down. I think we should give them just a little bit of time to finish their meal. But then, yes, we should be on the road soon. We've been around here long enough.
I believe they need to learn to eat while they travel. That is the true way to eat. But to each their own, once again.
Some of my horses want to know where we're going next.
A wise question. Straight from, well, the horse's mouth.
Okay, well, I have a question for the GM. Is there a specific spot we're going to, or did we manufacture one?
You guys have just been sort of letting the road take you. Your road is going north, but not anywhere in particular. You kind of have your eyes on Nethys Giril, the capital. That might be kind of your target destination, but you're just kind of going where the road takes you and hitting the small towns on the way.
Thank you. Well, we keep on heading north. Eventually we'll get to Nethys Giril, and we'll be able to camp out in the capital for a little while. But I think it'd be good for us if we were to hit all those little towns along the way, perhaps learn some more information about the countryside, and who knows, we need to get over to up to Nethys to learn more information and gather more things about the dragons. But I suspect that there's a good bit of things we could learn along the way at these little towns. No one pays attention to these things. And there's a wealth of information for them, I'll bet your buttons that.
I agree completely. Much lost knowledge can be found with the common people. Libraries hold the information that everyone knows. But only true travel can introduce you to what lays hidden beyond.
And that should be true.
Welcome, Barkus.
I'll agree to,
as long as we find out something helpful about slaying dragons, I'll be perfectly satisfied.
Okay, how do you pronounce this?
You may call me Meme.
Meme?
Mean. MINN.
Oh, Emma. And okay,
my full name is Element Raider Abid Alhamin Shintari, but Min works just as well.
Yes, yeah, we are not have to work. That. Even if you're in trouble, we're not doing that. Anyway, you're mostly right about that, Min, no doubt, except for the restricted section in the library at the Capitol. Oh, what I'd give to be in that library for just 5 minutes. The wealth of information that's there, not available to the common man. Oh, even with my years at the university, they never let me touch it. Very disappointing.
Well, perhaps we can be a bit more convincing. Maybe flash a little coin. That usually works. Well, at least with merchants, anyway.
As
if only scholars were all merchants. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought that it was changing. Go ahead.
No, I'm just making up filler, so go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. Well, so as you guys continue to load the last bits of it, Randy, you make your way to the Temple of Light. And as you come in, you can hear the voices of the brothers there at the temple as they are singing their prayers, and it sounds very
Gregorian. Yeah.
Gregorian, yes, that's it. And as you come in quietly, the pew rows are there. The temple is stone. It has a bell tower up on the top, but then also inside of the sanctuary itself, the walls are lined with stained glass windows, and there is a very large stained glass window in the front near the altar. And then, as is generally the intention of the architecture, there is lighting in the top. There's essentially light is allowed through the building, and then it's refracted by various mirrors, so that there's almost always a spot of light that shines down on the floor in front of the altar, and it makes the form of the first star of heaven, which is one of the symbols of Lilwenneth.
Okay. So, Randy is going to... Okay, OOC, just a little bit. What are some of the other names of Lilwenneth? What is she, he also known as?
Yeah, Lilwenneth is also known as the Lady of Light.
Okay.
Perfect. As the... patron of light, sometimes as the mother of all. In the, let's see, how much of the Lilwenneth faith does Randy actually know? How interested is he in it?
Well, he tries to go to whatever the equivalent of mass is every week. He was born and raised in an orphanage that was run by the Brothers of Light is what they're called.
Yes.
Yeah, he was born and raised in an orphanage run by the Brothers of Light. So he went to a boarding school. So he knows quite a bit of I guess you'd call it book knowledge of the actual religion. So he knows, you know. He's fairly versed in it.
Okay, so he would know that according to the teaching that he received, Lilwenneth is the mother of all in the sense that everything originated because of her. There are two kind of arch deities in the world. There's Lilwenneth and Rithmadir.
Okay.
And Rithmadir is the god of darkness.
Okay.
And Lilwenneth is the goddess of light. And so essentially, between the two of them, then they birthed into existence their four children who each pertain to a particular element.
Mm-hmm.
And then through their four children, the world took shape and was made. And so that is the creation saga of Avalon.
Okay.
That's generally what's accepted.
Okay.
So Rithmadir, while oftentimes claimed by those of dark intent, necromancers, evil sorcerers, those that would call on dark magic, Rithmadir himself is not evil.
Okay.
In that darkness is not evil in and of itself.
Okay.
But oftentimes he gains that kind of slant to him. But Loweneth is definitely the goddess of light. She's seen as the basically the patron of all that's good and righteous and healing and all that kind of thing.
Okay. And what would a confessional be? I'm just trying to learn, because this is stuff that Randy would know, and I'm just...
Yeah. So it is very Catholic in type as far as a religion goes. There is prayers. They don't call it mass, but they call it prayers.
Okay.
And so he could go to prayers every week.
Yeah.
And that would essentially do the same thing, at which point then generally the father of... Generally, the father of the temple would be the one who speaks and gives the oratory at prayers, and then the brothers would join in leading in the worship. Then, if he wanted to see a priest, one of the brothers, or if he really needed to, he could probably see the father of the temple. Then he could speak to them about any guilt on his conscience, and he could lay it before them, and they would help him to come to a peace about it.
Okay, so, and that would be just the equivalent of, what would that be?
That would be like confession, and they would generally prescribe, you know, go and, you know, spend so much time in prayer, and okay. You know, go seek Lueneth and seek her direction for your life, and then go and redeem yourself by doing these things that would make it better.
Right. Right. So... Okay, gotcha. So he's going to be attending morning prayer, just for a little bit, just to kind of give a quick prayer to bless the journey and to bless his friend who is also bless his elvish friend who is also a brother in the capital. Keep him safe and allow Randy to hopefully make his way up to the capital safely in order to see his friend.
Okay. And even as you take time to pray where you are at, the brothers continue to sing their prayers and kind of lead in a atmosphere of worship and reverence. A little while later, the father does step forward and begins to give the oratory, speaking about the good and blessed life that lives in service to Loweneth and seeking light and goodness and that sort of thing, and goes on, and then the brothers would pick up to sing again towards the end. So that probably goes on for the better part of an hour.
Yeah. And yeah, once that gets out, he goes up and he goes up and he shakes the hand of the father, thanks him for the wonderful prayers, and he makes his way back to the party.
You are quite welcome, my child. Come to a temple of light any time that you seek guidance, and you will find it in the loving eyes of our sweet lady.
Thank you very much, Father. Just continue to have me in your prayers as I go on. And as I head further north.
Go in peace, son. Go in peace.
And he makes his way back to the temple. Or back to the party.
All right, excellent.
Character development, woo!
All right, so you rejoin the party. In fact, you are... let's see how this is going to work. So you're coming back from the temple, right? You're just getting back towards the town square.
Yes.
The rest of you are pretty well gathered around the horses. I need everybody to do perception checks.
Okay.
Woo! First roll of the game. This is exciting, guys.
Oh,
14.
Total 20.
Perception. Make sure I have everything here. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nineteen.
All right. So, all of you who got 15 or over, you definitely see this happening. The rest of you that are out there, it's not quiet. So, you quickly hear a scuffle break out over towards the. You think at first it's over at the farmer's market, but then you look a little over to the side from the farmer's market, and you realize that a merchant halfling who was loading his fresh produce into his own cart as he prepared to head out, was suddenly accosted by about five Korthalian men. All of them appear to be young adults. A couple of them have some kind of clubs, large sticks that they're carrying, and one of them seems to have a dagger that he has drawn, and they seem to have kind of pinned him up against his own cart. And they're making short work of trying to locate any valuables before any town guards catch on to what they're doing. So roll initiative.
Okay. How far away are we from them?
You are about, let's see. The town squares, it's a small town, so the town square is probably only about 80 feet across. So you're probably about, you're probably about 30 feet away, probably because you're not right at the edge of it. His cart is pretty close to the middle. So yeah, you're about 30 feet away.
Okay. I am going to tap speed and get an additional 4. And I'd spoken with you about this. For a total of 14.
Alright, all of those over 20. Anyone over 20?
Most certainly not.
Alright, 15 to 20.
I believe that's only Night Glider.
Nope. Had a 11, so.
Alright, 15 to 20. Nobody else had anything in the 15 to 20 range, so 10 to 15. Okay, 18 from Bark.
18. Bark had 18.
All right, sorry. And then 10 to 15.
14.
All right. Anybody else 10 to 15?
11.
Who's? Okay, an 11, and that is Randy.
Yeah.
And Randy, you do recognize that this is Talus.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the same one that spoke to you. All right, anyone under 10?
8.
All right, first up is Philia. There are five of them. They're all humans, so they're all Korthalians. and they seem to be armed with pretty simple, crude weapons. They don't appear to be really hardened criminals in that sense, but they definitely look like they're gonna beat up this halfling pretty bad.
Alright, so I'm gonna grab my bow, it's just right in the cart that I'm dealing with the horses. I wouldn't have had it on me necessarily.
Yes, that would be your move action, but you can retrieve it, yes.
Oh, thank you. I just saw the link to the music. I was like, wait a minute. Awesome. Mako going with
so
the
I'm
music.
Going to aim for the guy. I'm going to aim for the guy that has the dagger and let off an arrow.
Okay, make an attack roll.
Oh, man.
All right, got a natural 20.
So go ahead and roll that again to confirm it. So you're going to make another attack roll with the same modifiers.
Ten.
Okay, so it doesn't confirm. So what that means is you'll just double what you roll on your dice. You won't double any modifiers. So go ahead and roll damage.
Probably just still
sorry,
rolling.
She's working out math.
Doing the maths.
After her will be 91.
Okay. I gotta say, guys, I am loving the characters so far. This is already gonna be a fun campaign.
I'm looking forward to developing it further.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so 10 points of damage.
It's gonna be good.
Alright, 10 points of damage. You fire and the arrow lodges in, So you fire your arrow and essentially your arrow pierces the arm that's holding the dagger. And he nearly drops the dagger out of his hand, but he clutches that arm back to himself, and the arrow is still stuck in his arm. So, and it's bleeding really bad. It looks like you hit the artery in that arm. So, excellent. Next up would be Bark.
All right, Bark is going to move toward these, not at a run, but mostly just...
Yeah, the one guy got hit.
I'm assuming that we have their
attention.
The
others kind of looked over and saw your group, and they seem to be kind of sizing you up a little bit, but it's all happening at the same time, so...
Right. Okay. Bark is going to march toward them at an even pace. He's going to take his battle axe. He's left-handed, by the way. Didn't mention that. He takes his battle axe from its scabbard of vigor, holds it, and as he's moving toward them, he also uses as a free action, he grow full. He's just going to say, I don't appreciate bullies. Back off of the halfling.
All right, do an intimidate check.
Real quick, what is it?
Okay. 13. Wait, I'm sorry. 16.
Real quick, just quick refresher. How does proficiency affect weapons?
It means you can use it without a penalty.
Without a penalty? Like, what penalty would it incur?
I believe it incurs a penalty on attack rolls. I believe it's at -4. I'd have to go back and double check.
Okay, so it's just basically you can use it and you're just good. You're just, okay. So I thought it was there was some sort of +3 that went with that, but no, that's skill level. Sorry. Never mind. I was confused. But yeah, thank you.
All right, so as Bark steps forward, lets his axe down into his hand, holds it at the ready, and tells them to back off, that he doesn't like bullies. Two of them look specifically unnerved by this. They didn't expect to have any trouble, certainly not from you lot. And those, while three of them seem unperturbed specifically, two of them did fail their save against you, and they are now shaken. So they're going to take a -2 to their attacks as well as to their saves. So, good job.
Okay,
that's fine. So you can technically move up to them and get close enough that you could attack next round. However, if you want to attack, then I'm not going to give them the shaken condition from your intimidation. If you want to use your turn to intimidate them, then it would have that effect. Do you want to attack?
Okay, so... No, not this round.
Okay, and we'll say that by the time your round gets around again that you have crossed that distance, because it's 30 feet.
Yep.
You can move that far. All right, next up is Min.
Sounds good. Okay.
Oh, 16. Okay. Is there a way that I can get over to the side of them? And use a cone without hitting either Bark or the gnome?
Yes, but you would essentially have to run up to them and use it within melee range of them in order to get close enough to keep the gnome out or the halfling out of it.
Okay, and I'm assuming they'd get an attack of opportunity on me if I did.
What kind of a cone is it?
A
magical cone. So yeah, they would get an attack of opportunity because of the casting of a spell.
Okay. I think I'm gonna do it anyway. And take the risk. Elmendreda sees them shaken and sees that they're not actually backing down and they're still around this defenseless gnome, and she actually passes Bark and stands up over next to them, and she says, "Well, you chose to stay. You are warned." With this, she actually pulls her hands back. And you see a small bubble of what almost looks like translucent energy form in her hand before she thrusts both hands forward. And a brilliant, almost purplish light springs out of her hands before it shifts backwards from purple to blue to green to orange to yellow to red. And then it stops. I will also use 2 frenetic points to enable Overpowering Mind. And that would be a DC 16 will save. And they'll get an attack of opportunity on me.
Yes. Four of them failed the will save.
Okay.
One of them passed. So what does it do?
It's complicated. It depends on how many hit dice they have, which is kind of based on their... I'm not sure if you would have checked this. It's kind of based on their CR level. Okay, if they're CR 5 or more, they're stunned for a round. If they are essentially a CR 3 or 4, they are blinded and stunned. And if they are a CR 1 or 2, they drop unconscious. Each of those have different number of rounds.
Okay, so let me deal with their attacks of opportunity first, and then we will deal with what happens to them because of it. Okay? So, does a 14 hit you?
It does not, actually. Surprisingly enough.
Does a 16 hit you?
It does.
Alright, so then three of them got hits on you.
Okay.
One, the guy with the dagger missed. Even though he rolled well, having an arrow through his arm doesn't help him. So he did not hit you. But the one of the guys who has a club did hit you. So he did.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sorry. I was just... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he dealt...
We're good.
3 points of damage.
Okay.
And the next one dealt 6 points of damage.
Okay.
And then one of the guys who was shaken raised a hand crossbow and fired it at you, and that hit. And he only dealt 2 points of damage with that. As a short bolt from his hand crossbow hit you and grazed you across the shoulder and arm as it went on. It looked like he almost missed, but he managed to graze you.
Okay.
And as far as the failing the will save, the only one that passed the will save was one of the guys with a club. All the rest of them failed it. So they are all suddenly, they pause. The ones that were holding weapons drop their weapons as they reach up, and they grab their eyes and they start crying out, "I'm blind! I'm blind!" So they're blind and they are stunned? Is that correct?
They are blind and stunned for 4 rounds, and then they will be stunned for another round.
Okay, so they are, 4 of them are essentially incapacitated because they are blind, and
nice.
They're kind of groveling on the ground now, trying to figure out why they're blind and begging you by all that is holy to take away the blindness.
Okay.
So
that ends my turn.
Awesome. Okay, Randy, you are coming from the other direction. You're a little bit closer than the rest of them are. You're about 20 feet away.
Okay.
And you recognize Talus very quickly, and here he is being attacked. Your friends rush in and start to get involved, but it seems like there's still a scuffle going on. What are you going to do?
Am I in initiative right now? I guess I am. I would be.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You are the next one who's up.
Okay, is there any kind of high places where I can kind of be above the action?
Not really. His cart was pretty much out in the middle of the square, close to the market.
Okay.
So it's not really close to any of the buildings along the edge.
I'm trying to think of a way to do a stealth check, just to kind of, I've never played a rogue before, so this is going to be fun. Let's see. I kind of want to prepare a sneak attack with my hand crossbow, and I'm just trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, you are coming from the side where you could basically come up and keep the cart between you and the action.
Yeah.
So all of these tall ruffians would not see you.
Okay.
Talus might see you if he were to look back and kind of glance under the cart. But all of these full-size Korthalians, they're not going to see you as you come up from the other side of the cart.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to prepare my hand crossbow. I'm not sure. Is that just going to be my turn or my action, or
you can prepare it as you go. That's fine. So you can do that as part of your move action.
Oh, okay, so hand crossbow preparation is a move action? Or how does that work?
I believe with a hand crossbow, it is a move action.
Perfect.
So yeah, you can do that.
Awesome. So I'm going to take a sneak attack shot at... Okay, give me my targets.
Okay, so from your direction, you can see it looks like several of them are on the ground, perhaps begging for mercy, but there seems to be one that is still up, and you can see his legs under the cart, and as you kind of come up to the edge of the cart and peek around, you can see him. He's got a large club in his hand, something similar to a baseball bat, probably something just out of a woodworker's shop, something that was on the lathe or something. But he's still brandishing it towards Talus. It looks like he's preparing to try to shout out to your friends and tell them to back off, or else he's going to do something to Talus.
Well, Randy is not exactly happy that he that they were harassing his fellow halfling, so he's going to take that shot. So let me 13. Yeah, he's going to shoot the man with the club with the crossbow, and it's going to be a 15.
Okay, that is a hit.
Okay, and so that is also a sneak attack, correct?
Yes, it is. All
right, sweet. So I've got 1d3 plus 2d6. It's going to be 6 points of damage.
All right, awesome. Well done.
And then
Alex. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or can I do like a stealth check to make sure I'm still hidden, or?
Yeah, go ahead and do another stealth check. I'll let you do that as a swift action.
Sweet.
What's your total?
I'm still figuring it out, sorry. 19.
Okay, awesome. Then you duck back around the cart, and just a second, let me roll him. Yeah, he does not know where that came from. He took the shot, the bolt buried deeply in his butt, and when he spun around, you were gone, and he had no idea where it came from. So he is feeling very surrounded at this time. Alex, it is your turn.
I had to go AFK for a little bit, so describe to me how many ruffians are still in the game and how many are out.
Yes, so technically none of them are dead yet or unconscious, but four of them seem to be blind and they're groveling before Min, begging for their sight back. One of them, however, is not seeming to be affected by whatever she did and was brandishing a club at Talus threateningly when he suddenly jumped and let out a bit of a scream and grabbed his butt before turning around and looking, but he doesn't know where it came from. But there is a bolt sticking out of his butt. That's it. So the guy with the dagger originally took an arrow through his arm. So... And he's also on the ground blind.
Okay. In that case, Alex will shout at the guy, "Hey, you! Loud one that likes to scream like a little girl. Time for you to go to sleep. Go to bed, young man." And he will wave his hand and cast sleep. And the DC is 15 for the will save.
Okay. You say that, and he gets his brow furrows, and he looks like he's just about to cuss you up and down, and then suddenly his eyes seem to drift a little bit, and his brow evens out, relaxes, and he just slumps right over, just falls over on his side, and he is asleep on the ground.
Whew, that didn't even take a lullaby. I'm getting better at this.
Okay, so it would be them, but one of them is asleep and the other four are blind, so they're pretty much going to beg mercy at this point. And they do just that. They say, "Mercy, please, please, just give me my sight back. I promise I will never do anything like this again."
Bark looks over and says pretty, just kind of curtly, "Let's not get arrested today. You idiots leave this guy alone. And don't come back around here."
Yeah. Anything. Exactly what you said.
And out of the distance you hear, "And if you guys don't want another arrow pouring out of your butt, I would suggest you just run off." And they don't know where it's coming from, but...
And the only one of them that knew about that arrow to the butt is currently asleep.
Nice.
So they're a little bit confused about all of that.
"That was you, Marcus. Oh, impressive. exactly what I should have thought of for one of your stature. Nothing like the big folk, no."
"Yes, your sharp shooting is greatly appreciated." And she turns back to the others and says, "Your sight will return shortly by my hand. Keep your word, and it will not be removed again." And it'll come back in like 24 seconds.
Yep, that's fine. And they willingly just kind of sit there and wait and don't do anything threatening at all. Meanwhile, Talus, realizing that the threat is past, turns to you all and says,
"Well, I say, that was fantastic timing, all of you. I suppose I'm in your debt, just a little bit." And he notices, "Randy!"
Wait, did he hear your name previously?
Yeah, I'm gonna say yeah, he'll just say, "You there, fellow." Or he recognizes me by face, but by name, because I don't think the name got mentioned.
Yeah, okay. He's like,
"Wait now, you there? I know you. You're that fine fellow that I spoke to earlier about the tomatoes. Right, the one from the coast. I remember you. Was that your shot? I saw that. That was beautiful."
"Thanks, I've been practicing."
"Well, this is fantastic. Now tell me..."
And he just kind of steps on one of the guy's hands, one of the blind guys, as he steps away from his cart a little bit to join you all. He's like,
"So, do my eyes deceive me, or is it possible that you all are preparing to leave town? Headed out to the open road, I think I remember hearing about that. Someone was going to do some prayers,
"Yeah, we're on our way to the capital, kind of taking stops on the way there, you know, on the way there. So, yeah, what of it? Anything we can do?"
"Oh, it is not what you can do for me, my boy, but it is what I can do for you, for all of you. Come now, why would you want to stop at the capital? A group like yourselves probably want to see the world. See grand and far-off places, experience food from all over the world, meet people from all over the world, learn of the vastness of this great space that we call home. There's many people beyond those in Korthalia. What do you say? How about you join me?"
As tempting as the offer sounds, we're gonna have to decline. You see, we're also on our way to the capital to find out some information about the dragons, research as much as we can to discover their weaknesses, and one day hope that we can destroy them.
Well, I suppose you could do that too. There's no reason you can't. Listen, hear what I have to say. You come with me, you lot. You're a fine group of defensible, strong sorts, and I certainly could make use of you on the road that I'm going on, and I can promise you some of the greatest minds that you have ever known. You will be able to speak to them all. Why, I tell you, I happen to know people all across this world, all the way from Iron Seed in the east, all the way down to that elvish kingdom in the south. Elith Windle. I don't know if you've been down there or not. Kind of a stuck-up lot they are, but they've got some great knowledge, and if you're looking for knowledge, you just stick with Talus Leaf, and I'll see that you find out everything you want.
Can I roll a bluff check?
Yes, you can.
No, wait, I mean, that was a sense motive check.
Yes, you can do a sense motive check. He appears to be telling the truth. He looks like a well-traveled sort. He's not a young halfling. And he doesn't bat an eye. He looks you straight in the eye. His brows are up, and his monocle makes the one eye looking insanely huge right now. He seems very honest about his connections.
Randy is going to go ahead and say, you know what, I don't want to see another halfling getting killed on the road, so if the other guys are willing, I think we'll stick with you for the time being. What do you guys say?
Me properly heightened gentleman, what exactly did you have in mind? Where are you going?
Ha! That's the question, then. I'm a merchant. I'm a man of the open road, and so I never stop traveling. That's what I do. Buy here, sell there. Personally, my road goes past the capital, as you put it, so we'll still be there if you want to stop. And he kind of gives Alexander a little kind of nudge in the ribs. But then we'll move on past there. We'll go through the pass of the Pelagus Mountains up the Eastern Road, all the way to Raven Spear and Iron Seed in the east. And we'll take the road back, fraught with more wares and more sellable items than you've ever seen. And we'll go down, see the world. Like I said, my road never ends, and with Talus Leaf, you know you're always going to find your way where you're going. Look, I wouldn't ask you to go for free. After all, if I get attacked, I expect you to fight for me. So I'll give you 10% of my profits on the venture. As long as you go with me, you get 10%.
25. Can I do a diplomacy check?
Yes, you can.
It looks like Alex wants to say something, but then decides, no. No, I'll let my friend barter this.
Alright, so.
While he's doing so, Elmandreda will look to the others and begin to whisper and then shake her head and then cast a message among the group so they can talk amongst themselves if need be.
Well, I got an 8, so I'm going to go ahead and use that message to say, anybody else want to try their hand at this?
Hell. I am not the most diplomatic people, but I can try. But his offer is good, I think. He seems to be honest merchant, wouldn't you agree?
I'm going to go ahead and, you know what? Never mind that. You seem like an honest guy. 10% sounds good. As long as it's, you know, rate negotiable depending on extenuating circumstances.
Of course, my boy. Don't worry about that. I'm an honest as the day is long. My mother taught me to be that way, and I wouldn't be any other way.
I like this guy.
Now, in fact, I'll make it a little bit better for you, just in case any of you are thinking you might not want to take up the deal. I'll give you room and board. Wherever we go, you need not pay. It'll be taken care of for you. Now, you can't find a better deal than that. See the world and get paid to do it. Hmm?
Randy is interested in what's your character's name again? 91, I'm sorry. Randy's actually kind of interested in what Barkus has to say of that, because he... Mm-hmm. Barkus. Hey, back! What do you got to say about it?
Bark. Yeah. It sounds like a good offer. I certainly won't turn away good pay, and room and board would be a steady drain. But how have you come so far on your own, little one? If you need protection so badly, or is it just the company you desire?
I think he's talking to the merchant.
A fine question.
Yes.
My
to the merchant.
Catton fellow. I haven't seen too many of your lot, but I suppose you've dispersed quite a bit. Shame. Real shame. But to answer your question, I've traveled with others in my time, but, well, let's just say that after one's been traveling for a while, sometimes company grows to be more like old fish, if you know what I mean, and you look for a change of party. So, they didn't stick with me, and that's all right. They went on their way, they got what they wanted, and we all left friends. But, you know, I'm...
Bark is satisfied with this answer. He'll shrug in a good-natured kind of way. I'm on board if everyone else is. Let me know the decision. He turns back, heads into the inn, and double-checks that he has everything. And he's pretty much ready to set out whatever.
As long as we have time to stop for shows.
Yeah, that's kind of our main source of income. You don't mind that, do you?
Oh, not at all. I was in the Harvest Inn last night, so I got to see what you can do. Where's that singer of yours? I haven't seen her yet. She travels with you, right?
I think she's out on in another journey, though. She should be meeting up with us soon.
Well, I hope so. Got quite a voice, that one, and a bit exotic, too. If I had to guess, I'd say that she's one of those beastkin. Interesting lot.
Out of character comment, she would be in her human form anytime she was out in public. She wouldn't give any obvious.
Does her human form have a tail and ears?
No. That's actually part of the race. They get discovered for that.
Okay. Okay, then nix that comment.
Quite an exotic look she has. Can't really place it, but... A great voice.
And he just gives a nod, as though that's all that needs to be said about that.
And so, and then, to quote another famous halfling, Randy asks the merchant, "So, where are we going?"
Well... We'll just go on the same road you were gonna go on anyway. See? It's working out for you already. We'll head towards the capital. Of course, we'll stop, and I'll sell what I can, and you can perform, and...
He kind of looks at the cat and do whatever it is you do. And if we get into trouble, then we'll hang tight.
Juggle.
Randy chuckles at the juggling comment.
Alright, then it's settled. Well, my cart is fairly well packed, and I'm ready to go. So, I'll give you about 5 minutes to get your things together, and we'll hit the road together.
Oh, 5 minutes is so generous. Well, I guess we should not waste much time. It is very coincidental. Almost as if it was the hand of fate. And that is a hand we should never turn away.
And Talus just kind of looks at Min like he has no idea what she's talking about, hand of fate or whatever. He doesn't appear to be a particularly religious individual. He's like, well, that settles it. No sense wasting the sun. Like I said, 5 minutes and we'll be out of here.
All right. And as Almendrada begins to make her way away, she proceeds to pull the crossbow bolt out of her arm and will cast Cure Light Wounds on herself.
If you're not using that, I wouldn't mind holding it.
It is all yours. 9 points healed.
All right. 21.
Around this time, Riku will step out of the inn, looking around, not seeing people around the cart. She'll see the group, I guess, coming back from over by the halfling. She'll go over to Nina and ask, did I just miss something?
Men?
Men, yes, oh, sorry.
Got it. Maybe. There was a bit of a scuffle in the street. These people wished to harm a good friend of ours, and now employer. We scared them off.
She frowns at that and shakes her head. Why would people even do that?
I never understood myself. Well, one look at Barkus and they decided to head for the hills.
One of the better choices they've made, it seems.
Yes. Wise
boys. Parker grins.
So, Randy's getting kind of antsy. So he asks the party. So, what are the things we need to do before we head out?
Well, the horses are ready. I don't, carts, I think, pretty much loaded up from last night. I don't know if anyone left anything.
No. Nice.
Oh, no.
I travel light.
Everything's packed, I think. And I do believe that we have all the provisions we're going to need. Oh, Randy, are those fresh tomatoes? Most wonderful, most wonderful. They'll go excellent with the corned beef and cabbage that we'll be
You're
making later.
You're not touching my tomatoes. I know what you did with it. You messed up the corned beef last time, and I'm not having that next time.
Randy, I didn't mess up the corned beef. It's just that your southern tongue can't appreciate a proper meal.
We're not going to get started on this. We're going to wait till we get on the road. But we will have this discussion. About your tendency to overuse pepper.
You see, he just kind of goes into a fit and can't respond to you.
He chuckles. Because he knew exactly what it would take.
Yeah, Alex storms off to the cart. Oh, I use pepper. Talk about right. His use of pepper. Possibly and, salty knows nothing about spice.
And in the next 5 minutes, you're able to get things put together. And I imagine somebody filled in Ruka, or maybe not, that you guys were going to be in the company of the rather eccentric merchant, Talus Leaf, and that you would be working with him. So the two carts head off, yours being more of a gypsy cart, enclosed. His is more of a covered wagon style cart and seems to be clattering down the road full of random bits and baubles and things that he has collected from different places to try to sell. And as you head off down the road, making your way out the north side of Thyrin on your way towards the capital, only time will tell what the next town will hold. And with that, we'll bring tonight to a close.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Solid opener.
Huzzah. This was great.
Woo. That was fun.
So I love the characters, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have so much fun fighting in the kitchen with Randy.
Oh, I love that. That is such a good element. That's going to be good.
Okay, we are going to be making these cook checks each day as we compete. And eventually it's going to be one of those, what's one of those cooking shows where you compete against other people?
Iron
yes,
Chef.
Yes.
Iron we need to Chef, have an ingredient Pathfinder of the edition. Day. We need to...
Yes!
That's what we're gonna do. Oh, that's gonna be awesome. I love it. And since we're both of Irish or whatever, you know, Irish equivalent descent, I'm thinking a lot of our food is gonna be potato based. I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
This is beautiful. Oh, I love it.
Well, if you guys want to role play Iron Chefing, we can certainly do that.
Yes.
All right. Well, excellent. So that you guys are aware, pretty much everything was canceled today because of the impending storm. But next week, our regular activities here are going to be back on schedule. So probably we'll be starting around 8:30 rather than 8 o'clock,
okay.
Just because I will be finishing teaching a class and I should be finished by 8 o'clock. But I won't be home by 8 o'clock. So it'll probably be closer to 8:30 or maybe even 8:45. I just, until I do it once or twice, I won't know how much time it's going to take. So bear with me. And I will also be endeavoring to keep the sessions ending by 11 o'clock Eastern. So it's about 10:43 now. We might go another 15 minutes or so on some nights, but I'm going to try to end them so that we finish at about 11 o'clock because a lot of us have early mornings and
right.
Late nights don't really work that well.
Yeah, next week is going to be entirely dependent on Irma for me, and I think a lot of us in Florida. But
this is all assuming we actually have power next week, so
oh come on, if we don't have power, I fully intend to do smoke signals.
That's what I was gonna recommend, but
I'm not really a fan of role-playing by Morse code.
I was gonna break out the telegraph machine, man, but I had a good time. But
you just send them some plot chapters via Irma.
Or maybe
right?
I'll
just throw some papers out there and she can travel across to Florida.
Carrier pigeon would work.
I'm wondering how role playing by postal service might work. I have to.
We should definitely work the name Irma into the campaign somewhere. Like, if this does end up being a serious thing to us, like, there should be, like, ups and. A human hurricane, some woman like a wind mage or someone named Irma that we have to deal
you guys
with
will,
over time.
Enjoy what's ahead of
that
you.
That would be
and,
pretty great.
I may have some things like that that we can do. So enjoy it and look forward to it.
I love it. You guys are Woo! Awesome. I'm going to head out, but you guys
I like
are awesome.
It. Cameos and Easter eggs.
That was actually my first opener of a campaign, and that was legit. It was fun.
Awesome. Have a good night. Goodson, to answer your question about how to increase
that
your
was
dodge
pretty great.
Modifier.
I like that.
First of all, there is a feat that you can take called dodge, which gives you a +1 to your dodge modifier, just straight up. There are probably...
Okay.
I would have to look, do some looking around through the traits and see if there's any traits that would give you what you're talking about. And pretty much any trait that you find, I will let you try to train.
Okay.
The text that it gives may not fit because all of the traits are designed for, like, a level one character would pick this up, so it's got to be, oh, in your childhood, you had this happen to you, and so you learned how to do this thing. Well, that's not how we're dealing with it here. Essentially, essentially, Bark would have to go and find somebody who could teach him to be lighter on his feet, to be faster at his reflexes and his ability to turn a blow.
Right.
Go find a master at arms or somebody like that that could teach him, and then he would gain the trait after having been taught by them. So, and all of that I want to be able to play. While we won't necessarily play out all of the training involved, I want to play out some of it because I think that provides really great side quests, and it provides some really great character growth as you take time to learn things. So
it does sound good. Mm-hmm. Well, very good, then. We can look forward to taking that on.
Awesome. And I will be very much looking forward to finding out whenever the audio of this gets put up. So whoever was recording, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear the audio. That, and I need to take notes on all the stuff I said.
Yeah.
No forgetting the clerk's name this time.
Oh, come on. Bartholomew was a great guy. So is his twin, Milo.
Yep. Hey, Dacazes, Friday. Is this one of the ones you're going to be out?
That will all be dependent. I'm actually not going to be flying away until Saturday. So, tentatively, yes, we will be running, but I will know for certain as we get closer. It'll also depend on, is there electricity, cell service back, etc.
Okay. I'm going to be driving home that day. I don't know if I'll be home before 7 or not, so I may or may not be there myself.
Okay.
Just let me know when we're going to do the PvP, because I am very excited about that.
Whenever one of the weeks gets missed by you or Dacazes. Peter, you had a week or two you said that was for sure you were going to miss, right?
Yes, that is. Let me look that up.
If that goes.
Okay, I almost certainly miss the 22nd. Likely, I'll miss on the 29th. And I do not know about whatever is before the week before the 22nd. I am not sure about that.
15th.
Yes, so I'm not sure about that one. I know I will miss the next one, probably miss the one after that, too.
So let's shoot for the 22nd, and it sounded like level 8s.
Awesome.
I'll throw some stuff out in the group chat about it, see who all is interested, and then line up some brackets.
I definitely would be interested, though. It would take some time. I'm probably going to be bringing my first character, Lauriana, my wizard.
Oh boy, a min-maxed wizard, eh?
Yeah.
That's okay, I'm probably going to be bringing a particular oracle that most of you know.
That could work.
Yeah. Well, at least the wizard won't be 10. Isn't that where the invulnerability stupid thing comes in?
Nope. That would be 8. So we will have fun.
Oh, this could... Oh, boy.
All right. Good night, everybody. I gotta sign off.
Good night, everyone.
Later.
Yeah, me too. Good night.